Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Carpentier Show. Hey, how I listen. I've been in expectation all week of this new topic. And it's a topic, if it isn't anything really different from the one that we have been discussing and you have been also really waiting to hear. Because even though we've been talking about Pittman to the rescue, and we've also been talking about ways and means to let the world know that you are somebody, you are a shining star. We haven't really zeroed in on what the person is going to do once he or she is made whole. And this is what this conversational topic is about today. We're not really running off, but we're digging a little bit deeper into who you are, what you want, and where you're going to be in the next hour, 9 to 5 years. So, the topic today is, I am a part of the King's Entourage. My name is the Dr. Cappuccino Show. It's always on it, every Saturday at 8. We're dealing in not only life, affirming virtue, but we're talking about how you can sustain and maintain your personality once you think you have arrived. And we've always been enjoying our good friend, Dr. Colonel William Harrison, and I always tell him, you're 3,000 miles away. Where did you get started? But he has a lot to talk about, and you need to hear it. A lot of people are saying that, hey, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know where I was born. My parents were stupid and ignorant, laying around, lounging around. Oops, here I come. I was conceived and popped out without any kind of a blueprint, without knowing anything. Told to eat, told to sit down, told to say no, told to stop. That was about it. But today, and if you miss any part of living because you really didn't know who you were, well, we're here to tell you, you are part of the King's Entourage. If you're living, if you're breathing, if you can hear my voice, you are part of the King's Entourage. If you woke up and you said, oh, God, here it is daytime, I don't even want to face the day, you're still a part of the King's Entourage. And what is the King's Entourage? Our Creator has said things that he would like to have human beings do. So whether it's reached you or not, we need to tell you that that's the case. Some might say, oh, is that in the Bible? No, I tell you what, just look around. A person with common sense and no common sense will know if you step on front of a car, he's going to get messed up. If you put a gun to his head, he's going to get messed up. If you put a knife to his own throat, he's going to get messed up. Oh, my goodness. If you put too much hair on in his veins, he's going to get messed up. In other words, those are things that's going to lead to death. But because the Creator says that he's a giver of life, you are living. That means you are part of his entourage. What is an entourage? It's a group of people for a certain purpose and for a certain intention. That's all it is, cut and dry, whether West is alive or not. That's what an entourage is. And if you were created in God's image, and it says you were, I'm going Bible now, then you're part of that entourage. Well, what in the world do I do? I'm sad. I'm sick. I'm hungry. I'm begging all the time. What am I supposed to do? Do I leave that and keep on walking, or do I stop for some introspection just for 5 seconds, if no more? What do I do? Well, Colonel Harrison is going to chime in, and I hear him. On high. So he's going to chime in, and he's going to help us this morning. You know, we always go back and forth, and it's always good because there's more than one way to skin a cat. I always heard that. And there's certainly more than one way of looking at this thing called religion. And we see that every day. Oh, my God. Every minute, every second of the day, there's something coming up concerning religion and spirituality and how one should govern their lives, even thinking about being a religious person. But here we are right now. Colonel Harrison, we're talking about every man, all women, being a part of God's program, being a part of his purpose, being a part of whatever he's a part of, whatever he's calling himself. Somehow we, too, have an opportunity to become a part of whatever he is. We're already a part because, you know, it says that the body
is the temple of the living creator. How do you think man should feel knowing that he's such a powerful being and he has an opportunity to help make all things new?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cupertino, and listening audience. Man should feel, man and woman should feel great about being a part of God's kingdom and being a part of the universe that God created. Clearly, the greatest best-selling book of the world says that God created everything and everybody and all that dwells therein, and everything that he created. At the end of the 6 days of the creation period, he said, it is very good. So man was created in the image and likeness of God, and so we were created to be somebody, to do glorious things, to do wonderful things, to love one another, to help each other, upbuild, encourage, and support. And when one is down, another is supposed to help pick them up. So we're part of a glorious kingdom, and it's interesting because I will prayerfully be preaching on the subject tomorrow, God is not dead. And I'm going to go back and examine most of the 66 books of the Bible and the creation and bring forth encouraging information and proof to help encourage those who might be struggling with who they are, their purpose, and feeling that they are somebody.
Okay, that is wonderful. So you're going to be teaching this, or you said you're going to be preaching about it. What did you say you were going to be doing?
Yeah, I will be preaching live on Facebook tomorrow around 11:45 Eastern Standard Time, and probably be around 9:45 Pacific time.
Oh, okay. That sounds wonderful. So you're going to be giving advice on what? Let the listening audience hear that again. Yep. You're going to be talking about what? Because now they're on the show now, so I know they're waiting to hear a lot of good news now. But you're talking about. But you are talking about what? Tell us what you're talking about.
I will be speaking specifically to the fact and providing proof that there is a God of the universe, there is a God that made everything, there is a God that lives, and that God is not dead. He's the same God that created everything and still exists. And so I will be bringing forth the message in that context to help those that probably don't believe, in disbelief, or those who once believed but now struggling with their faith because of trials and tribulation they have had in life, whether it's sickness, whether it's health, whether it's employment, or whatever. So I'll be giving an overall picture of a summary of quite a few of the books of the 66 books of the Bible, offering proof that God loves us, God created us, and God is still alive, and God is still with us.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Now, let's kind of take this to another level. Once you actually preach and teach and, you know, say, okay, this is what God would have you do, so forth and so on, what's going to be that call to action? Once you stand and you say all of that, these people now sitting around with a gun to their heads, some are walking toward a bridge that they can jump off of because they don't feel that they're part of God's entourage. After you speak, as you said on Facebook, what next? What next? Because this is the world of what next is. What is your call to action? Once you, because many pastors are going to be standing preaching all over the world, some good message, some not good message, some that might have a message of hope that only a few can understand. Because keep in mind, we're talking this morning about people really being part of an entourage for good. They are somebody. Once these ministers stand and talk and close that Bible up, if they use it at all, what is going to be the call to action? I'm going to talk. Johnny B. Good's going to talk. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer might want an opportunity to talk. What's going to be the call to action? What are you guys going to tell people that they should be doing all week, or maybe that God can help them all week. What is going to be the call to action to pray them to talk sense that they're going to be alive the next Sunday to hear what you guys got to say? Because now the topic is that I am somebody because I'm part of his entourage. How are you guys going to make them feel that way to hold them together for another week and another week and another week? And, oh, my God, it has gotten even worse out here in the world. What are you guys going to do?
The call to action after the service in-house will be the call of discipleship to offer any who are not saved to come under salvation. The call to action going out is going to be an outreach by certain members of the church and officers of the church going out in the community and knocking on doors, finding out what people's needs are, finding out how they're doing, and then offering them, of course, some type of social service assistance or referring them to a social services agency, as well as offering them an opportunity to come under salvation. So we're going to Matthew 28, go ye therefore, teaching them, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we're going to have an outreach ministry to go out with regards to the church. With regards to the platform for peace, we're going to do it through the Footmen to the Rescue program.
Very good. I just love it. You've done a lot of homework. Oh, you just said it. That sounds wonderful, because if a person really doesn't feel that they're worthy to get up in the morning, some might not feel worthy to even come to church. I know in our church out here on the West Coast, there's either 2 to 15 people each church. And this past week, about 12 have been shuttered. 3 have been auctioned off, and I think 2 or 3 have been sold. So we're really, and it's not just here in L.A. County, it's all across America we're seeing this. So is there any other channels that a person can go to that you might know of if he's feeling that I'm not worthy? I'm not worthy to go into church, and I don't want to hear from them hypocrites in there. I don't want to be a part of that. They ain't doing nothing. What can we do for those that feel that way? Because keep in mind, Scripture says that God does not desire that any perish. So that means the hypocrite, the prostitute, the wealthy millionaire. He's covered the bases. His son's mercy and crucifixion covered the bases. So what can we add or say to that?
For those you just mentioned, there are social services programs in the Washington metropolitan area that are offered by various cities and townships and so forth, and private organizations where people can come to those. They can come and they can come and they can participate. They can be involved in group discussions, and they provide them with a certain limited resources that they may need to help them and so forth and so on. The idea is for them to become connected to some resource group in the community that can help them with some of their social needs, help encourage them, help lift them if they need some type of psychological counseling, whatever, to let them know that they are somebody, they are loved, they are wanted, they are needed, they are desired, and these people can help encourage them, help build them up, and help make them whole again.
It sounds wonderful, but it's not working. Every week, more and more and more, even while we're talking now, someone is deciding, you know, I'm not anything. I'm not worth being a part of an entourage. I'm going to kill myself. We said it week after week. They're not going to get up off their sick bed, a mental sick bed, physical sick bed, and go out and seek anything. If they've been moving around in the world, they feel displaced. They feel I don't have any place there in the world as I would know it. I don't really have any true friends. I see what is going on in the world. They're not going to do that. And we've had this discussion week after week. A sick man with a gun to his head is not going to put the gun down and all of a sudden decide, well, I'm going to walk to the corner resource center. Here on our coast, many of them are closed. They're offering false services. some of these services is just put in place so that they can get a check. Oh, I think we're going to need a mental health class, so, you know, I'm going to charge $1 million to teach it, so I'm going to contact the city, see if I can get it approved. Yeah. People are not doing that. You have children as young as 8 years old hanging themselves. Something is wrong. I think what we said 2 weeks ago and last week, the people in charge of people have got to, and you just mentioned that they've got to get up, they've got to stop that. And most of the people that we're talking about is sick themselves. They need some help. They're only standing talking out of routine. Oh, well, you know, it's not that we're going to get over there. That's what this game is about. And it's not a game for all, but when I talk to people weekly and when I hear them chatting, I mean, it is just awesome what is going on and what they say should be going on. These people are not being helped. They are not being helped. They are not going to do it. That's why they don't feel part of anything that has to do with the living God. And here we are. We already know they were born. Somehow, he was part of their conception. You came into this world for a reason. You might not know what it is, but you're here for a reason. So here we are, two lone wolves. And I'm saying that because there's not too many people even reaching out to those that might need some help, might want some help, might say, oh, yes. We don't see that. We don't see that at all. So where do these lost cannons go? They're sitting around now saying, I'm hungry, I'm broke, I'm black, I'm ugly, I'm white, I don't look good, I'm Mexican, I don't speak good. I mean, what do we say to these people that don't feel worthy? We can't send them out on the sidewalk to knock on the door that's only open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. What do we do? Is there anything else that we can encourage our team to do? You have hundreds of listeners, even now. They're coming on. A couple have disconnected, but the bulk of these people, they're coming because whether or not we're giving them an answer, we're letting them know it is an answer there. And I would hope to say we know what it is, but to send the sick, the wounded, the weary, the hungry, the black, the broke out there trying to beg for some resources, oh, no, Jesus did not say that. Now, we're talking about the Bible. So if we're going to follow his example, he said, follow me. So that means what he said, follow that. The way he walked, follow that. Whatever he had in store for humankind before he ascended back up to heaven, follow that, follow me. So what can you and I tell people that have become disillusioned? Obviously, thousands of people a week killing themselves, they haven't found nothing. Somehow, that ain't worked. So what can we honestly tell people? Coming, sitting, listening to the minister, that ain't working either. I think you're the first and the foremost on that track. You've got to go, you therefore. It's not working. The same was cynical in the church. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They said it's more hatred and death in the church than it is on the street. You and I got opinions about that. Them people in there is not going to reach out to strangers, friend or foe. They're there. God help me, save me. Don't kill me. I don't want to die. And then they go back home and eat some collard greens. What can we honestly tell our people? And I'm coming from an orientation. I talked about it last week, where those people did not just stand and talk. They did. What can we do? What can we do? Pastor, clergy, Colonel, Dr. William Edson, what can we do?
Dr. Compton, the new concept that the Platform for Peace has was created with the concerns that you just voiced in mind, a footman to the rescue. Those who are willing to help others can go to the website and they can register to become a part. This is a part of a social service outreach under the Platform for Peace, Commitment to the Rescue, to go out in the community and reach out to people and identify them and assist them and refer them to various agencies and so forth and so on. It has to begin with one family at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one community at a time, one city at a time, one state at a time. The concept of people showing love, because we are brothers keepers, we have to do it. It works under the same principle as those who start ground root voter registration, whether it's local or national registration to vote. We got to reach out to people. There are people out there that are hurting, as you said, literally thousands of them throughout this nation. And those of us who have compassion for people, knowing that God loves all of us, we got to go out and assist those who are among the least of them, those who are homeless, those who are poor, those who are downtrodden, those who are sick and shut in. We got to start in our homes, start in our communities, and just go and knock on doors and check on people. And we certainly can help them with some resources we have, and we also can refer them to other places that have resources to help.
Well, you must have taken a weedy pill, or you must have really been praying all night long, because you're hitting a 100. If anyone doesn't hear that and listen and then take heed, oh, my God, there's something wrong with them. That's really the story. We must be our brother's keeper. You know, a time is showing right now that you can't skin and grin in a person's face, and then they not recognize that either it's not sincere, you know, you're a liar, you don't know what you are doing on this planet. Stay out of my face. You have hit a home run, and that's good, because you know what? My father used to always say, the world is looking for the real man or the real woman. And I never understood that. I said, real man and real woman, you know, who's flesh and blood, be real. He said, no, you are not. The real one is going to show just who he is, just what he's capable of, what he's capable of doing, and he ain't going no further than that. The real one is going to recognize who he is at any given moment. That's who he is. That's what he's going to do. And I think the calls for the Christian man, the Hindu man, the Muslim man, the God of man, all those people, all many religions, I think they're all trying to say, let's come together, let's love each other. We're all coming from the same place. No, we're not. If we have people laying on the street like we do here in Los Angeles, 70,000, something is wrong. People now are going around in their cars just picking up people, women with sacks on them, taking them to public spa and showers and then taking them into their home. People are saying, you know what, I'm going to be a part of this. I got a home. I ain't in it. I'm sleeping on the floor in my own home, and I got 5 or 6 bedrooms. Those people are frauds. Those are frauds. I'm going to say it again. Hey, all you listening audience, them people are fraud. They are a living fraud, and anybody needs to be careful. The Bible says through Paul, he says, if any of you have more than this a life's means, you are to share it. He said, come, bring it at my feet. You know the story, Pastor, and Sapphira. These people are living like that, and they're being called out. People are saying that they're calling out people in mansions. They're calling out people in townhomes. They're calling out people in apartments. Many people got space. They're not taking nobody in. That shows who they are. You ain't got, oh, she's supposed to be. Oh, yeah. Just look at what they are doing, but mainly look at what they're not doing. And so in listening to what you're saying, you're talking about go ye therefore, be your neighbor's keeper. Where are these people at? I'm kind of thinking about myself, but I've always had, at one time, I had 5 families living with me. You know, I was in this big mansion, and every week I got a call. I still get some calls now. So a person hurt, he said, by their words, you'll know them. They're going to say, oh, my God, they're so gorgeous with you. What are they doing? And I think this world is actually coming to it. They ain't doing no good works. They want some good work. They ain't doing nothing. What can we say about that from your perspective? You're a minister, you're in the pulpit every week. Maybe you have some members that have some extra room. I think we really, as people claiming Christianity or claiming anything, if you're human, you have to be no Christian. If you're human, you're seeing people laying around on the sidewalk, are you going back every day giving them a sandwich, you're going to give them some love? being gets deeper into hell, we are looking at that. Wait a minute. They got some extra rooms. They ain't doing nothing there. They over there got some extra garage there in the back. See, as people who we are, emboldened, anointed, sanctified, hey, we, God, Spirit is not called to us to say, wait a minute, hey, if you're going to preach the word, that got to be part of it. What are you doing? Can you take somebody in? What is your problem? You don't want nobody there. We really got to, oh, well, they're going to steal my jewelry. They're going to say, get you some bars. Put you some bars up there. Locksmith, gate people will come in and put a gate on a jewelry box. So and hand you a set of keys. I mean, if we really want to get into this, helping people understand who they are and the reason for being, we got to look at ourselves too. Ourselves too. Paul said it. Jesus said it. We got to look at ourselves. Is that something that is actually doable? Is that something that's actually doable? We got to look at ourselves. Yeah, we got to look at ourselves. What can you as a minister offer people that need to really look at who they are, look at themselves, and be a part of the problem? We just can't keep talking about, yeah, you got to do this, yeah, you got to go there, yeah, you got to do this, yeah. People are killing themselves, they're dying. What can we say to people that might need to take others in or that might need to be a part of the feeding process? What can we say? Or if we say anything at all, will they do it? That's the next thing. You got a lot of people in these organizations that don't do nothing but what they want you to do. What can we say? What can you say?
We can offer them hope through help, Doc. Hope through help. Offering them assistance, showing compassion. Let them know that we do care. We do love them. If they're hungry, feed them. If they need clothes, provide them with clothes. If they thirst, give them something to drink. We who are able, we who have been blessed, we who have resources, need to help those who do not. We are brother's keeper. Either we all live together in harmony and peace, or we're going to perish together. And so the people perish for lack of compassion, lack of knowledge, lack of assistance. So we got to help one another by any means necessary.
Yeah, because, you know, we're all on this earth, and if one is blown up by a nuclear bomb, we're all going to follow. And I think we don't really understand that. We figure, you know, I got mine, I got this, I got that, I'm doing this and that, yeah. Oh, my God. If something happens to a family member, all family members are going to rally around. I got a family there to prove it. They've been raising sand all night talking about who's going to take care of me when I get older and get in a hospital. And my son, who I hadn't heard of, his wife was there. I can talk to you about this thing called, hey, my brother's keeper. They better come together. We better come together as a people. And as I said, the people that are in charge with looking after the souls of man, they are the ones, too, that have honestly said, you know what, I'm tired of playing around. I'm tired of talking. I'm going to cut my own tongue out if it's not really getting to the business of really helping man rather than talking. I'm gonna take something and cut my own tongue out. And you know, my dad used to say, he said, I promised God, and he became a great man. He said, I promised God that if I really wasn't gonna help with my two hands, I'm gonna cut both arms off. And my father meant it. He really meant it. But now you have an interesting sermon. You're gonna be on Facebook tomorrow starting at what time? Colonel Harrison.
About 11:30 Eastern Daylight Time and about 9:30 Pacific Time.
Okay, I'm going to try to hop on. I mean it, because you're a great man, and I thank you for coming on. We can count on you every week. God bless you. God bless your congregation. Thank you, and all of you, thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You see, we don't play, and we're not trying to get you to play, because your life is real. God bless you. We'll look to hear from you. If not, see you in spirit next Saturday, same time at the Dr. Cappuccino Show, Blog Talk Radio Point Portal. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kyle. You have a great weekend.